Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
The conversation that has dominated the airwaves, that's dominated pretty much most of what we are speaking about, is the state of the nation. We've been fairly critical, or I certainly have been very critical, as to how the government has dealt with this and how they have anticipated this. But we wanted to hear from John Steenhuisen. He's, of course, the leader of the DA. Following him on social media, I can see that he is out and about meeting with people, trying to understand and assist where he possibly can. John, a very, very difficult couple of days for South Africa. Good morning.
Good morning, Howard, and good morning to the listeners. And certainly a very, very difficult time for South Africa. And over the course of the last 48 hours, I've witnessed scenes that I never thought I would ever see in my life. And yet they've come to pass in KwaZulu-Natal. And I can tell you, having flown in there 2 days ago, the expectation that I had for what I was going to see came nowhere even close to what actually has been happening on the ground here. And you just actually cannot appreciate from the screen or, or from social media. It's only when you're on the ground here and you see exactly what's happening that you see how serious this is and how we've got to make sure it never, ever happens again.
Do we also need to look at why it happened in the first place? Was our government caught with their pants down?
Absolutely. I'm in two minds about that, if I'm honest, Howard. First, I think we've got a major failure with domestic intelligence because you don't need to be James Bond to have seen on social media, on Twitter, the statements being made last week outside Mr. Zuma's house in Nkandla, where this was heading. What amazes me is that there was no preparation. The police in KwaZulu were caught completely by surprise. Any credible domestic intelligence service would have been on top of this thing. They would have known what was about to happen, who the ringleaders were, and where this was going to start. And yet, it's been 48 hours, probably even longer now in KwaZulu-Natal, and it's only late last night where the police and security centre started to regain the initiative. Because the army finally arrived in places like Phoenix and the north of Durban and started to restore some law and order and calm.
What is the current situation? Are you probably closer to knowing what's going on the ground than anybody is?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why it's important to get up to places like this so you can understand what's going on. It's still tense, Howard, and there was still looting going on yesterday afternoon. Drove through the Riverhorse Valley in Durban, and looting was still continuing unabated. There were large streams of people that were breaking into factories and breaking into businesses there and literally walking out of whatever they could. And that was still continuing. There were gunshots last night. The situation is still very, very tense. But I'm really hoping that the troop surge into KwaZulu-Natal is going to assist.
Why has it taken so long, and why haven't we seen the water cannons that the government likes to use on the vulnerable in our country?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I think that the genesis of this was actually last week. I've got to presume the homestead in Kandla. Large crowds were allowed to gather in violation of the lockdown regulations, the law, and they did so with impunity. And I think what they realized there was that if you wave enough guns in the air, if you threaten enough violence, they're going to back off. And that's exactly what happened outside in Nkandla. And so I think it completely emboldened what happened this week, looters and political agitators to do what they did this week. And, to a large degree, for the first couple of days, they've been proven right that if you do show enough violence that you're going to prevail. And I think that's a very dangerous situation. I think the president, erred by not committing enough boots on the ground right from the get-go. And this is a huge attack on law and order and on the state's monopoly on using violence to be able to bring to bear the law and order. I think 2,500 troops committed for the entire country was nowhere near enough to be able to do what needs to be done to restore law and order. And I think the president's speech on Sunday night completely lacked the understanding of what actually was happening and what was going to go down. And someone described it as a Rotary Club speech. And I absolutely agree with that. I think it was completely out of touch with what actually this situation was on the ground. Yeah.
It what's interesting to me about it, and I put this question to a number of people that I've interviewed, is the obvious thing, and what we see often in other countries when you have this type of situation, is the president stands up and he needs to show strength. And how he does that is not just in the conviction of what he's saying, how he's saying it, but also the visuals. And there were no visuals. There was no one standing behind him, perhaps the head of the army, a police, a couple of senior members of the ruling party, maybe even the opposition parties, to show that we're all in this together. And as a nation, we are strong and united. But there wasn't that. He was a man alone in front of an iPad. And I wondered if he's just clueless about this type of optic, or these types of optics and this type of messaging, or was that maybe deliberate?
I'm not sure, Howard. I just think that it was completely out of touch. But you're absolutely right. And in fact, the only scenes that were taking place in the background was that while the president was talking, the looting was continuing unabated.
On a split screen, that was horrific.
Yeah. Mm. A blood bank in Westmead, and the looting was just continuing. And I think that also, that graphic showed that, this guy's talking on TV, but what's happening on the ground is something completely different. He's talking about restoring law and order, and yet, the other screen was showing complete anarchy. So, I hope the president's learned the lesson from this. Certainly, in the meeting that we had with him yesterday, he was a lot more contrite and very willing to listen, and I'm very glad that he's taken on board some of the suggestions that we presented him with yesterday. But I hope that there's a lesson being learned here. And, Helen Suzman always taught us in my party that you go and see for yourself. And I think it would have seen a great optic for the president to have been on the ground, either in Gauteng or KwaZulu-Natal, to be where it's happening. And I think that he missed an opportunity there as well.
It's interesting that he did that. That was going to be my next question, or that he didn't do that. Why haven't we seen him on the ground? It's all very well to be walking along the Sea Point Promenade taking selfies with residents, but this is where it's needed. I saw some photos of you, and I'm very, very critical of staged photos. But I could tell that the ones yesterday that I was seeing coming from some of your visits, the emotion was palpable and absolutely genuine when you were meeting with people that were absolutely traumatized. I could see your trauma in the photos. And to me, that says an incredible amount, because it says you empathize, it says you're prepared to be there, and you're not distancing yourself from an incredibly painful event and unfolding of events on the ground, because people are dealing with just the most terrible stuff. You're bringing it home to yourself. And what we haven't seen is a president and an ANC. They seem to lack, they're not very good at displaying any empathy. We don't feel that they actually care for the people of the country. We're certainly seeing it from the Zuma crew. They don't care how many people die in this process, as long as their point is made. And they'll use fancy words by during a revolution, people get hurt during a revolution. This is not a revolution. Well, it might try and be, but it's certainly not for the good of anybody, but a very small crew. But I'm not seeing and feeling empathy from the ANC, from our leader, the party in leadership, as we should be seeing.
Well, absolutely. And I must say, it's been quite emotionally draining to be on the ground. And that's something you can't pick up on social media or from TV. It's just the absolute abject fear of so many people who feel let down, that they've been left to stand on these barricades on their own, that there's, it's the one job that the state has, and it's the one thing that both the far left and the far right in the political spectrum agree that the state's primary role, if it has a role, is to protect and defend its citizens. And they feel abandoned, and just seeing the fear in people's eyes. At the end of both days, I myself was very emotionally drained. I mean, to see people, probably the lowest point for me was a young Muslim woman business owner in Berlin who and invested her entire life savings and her life into a little clothing shop, and was completely destroyed and gutted. And there's no coming back for her. She said, this is the end for me. I won't recover from this. And, you know, I think that's what's lost when, you know, politicians become talking heads on TV. You know, they miss out. There's actually human tragedy there. There's people who've lost their lives. There's, you know, people who've lost loved ones. There's huge damage to the psyche of people who, you know, are going to be scarred by what has happened over these last few days. For many, many years to come.
As leader of the opposition, if I had to ask you 3, 4, 5, however many steps, what needs to be done now, today, Thursday morning?
Well, this is what I tabled with the president yesterday. But first of all, I said you've got to get more boots on the ground. You've got to regain the initiative. The Lutes have had the initiative, or had the initiative, for the majority of the days. And you need to get boots on the ground to restore law and order. Nothing else is possible until law and order is reestablished. The second thing that needs to happen is that the, I suggest to the president that the military bring in helicopters, armored personnel vehicles, and soldiers to reopen the N2 and N3, which are the arterial roads into KwaZulu-Natal, which are blocked at Moy River and many other places by protesters and looters, and to get the trucks flowing, because the next big crisis here, Howard, is food and fuel and medical supplies. Distribution centers will all be burnt and looted. Butcheries, bakeries, all been destroyed. So even if the shops were to reopen today, there's no stock. They can't get stock from anywhere to replenish their shelves. So there is really a food security issue here as well. So they've got to get that into an entry open so we can get food and medical supplies and fuel, which is also running us into here. Then thirdly, that domestic contingent has got to get on top of these social media posts and the WhatsApp groups, etc., to
100%.
Understand who are the ringleaders and target them and focus them. And then also you're able to direct resources, because that's where it's being coordinated from, from social media. Then I've made a suggestion that the ordinary SAPS members, which I was astounded to find out during this last 2 days, shotgun and riot control and crowd control, shotguns with rubber bullets, etc., were withdrawn from stations, and only the public order policing unit could use them. Now, you know, you've got a mass public disorder protest here, and you've got police that do not have the equipment required to restore public order in a relatively non-lethal way. And that is a huge problem. And then I've said that they've got to get a handle on the farms. There's farms that are being burnt, dairy farms particularly. We need to get that flow of milk. Farmers, they are throwing milk away at a rate of not. And then there's got to be a far more coordination. That's also one of the things that I really noticed on the ground here. The Metro Police running around like chickens without a head. The SAPS running around with chickens like chickens without a head. Your private security companies doing their own thing. The residents doing their own thing. There needed to be, I think, far more coordination of the security service response, so that it's far more targeted, it's far more effective. I think that just those few initiatives would allow law and order to be reestablished very, very quickly here in KZN. And so I'm very glad that the president, I mean, did listen yesterday. You know, I'm very critical of the president, but he did listen yesterday.
That's very good news. Very good news.
And he's now you know, listed the deployments of 25,000. I still think it's not enough, but, you know, and he listened to the request I made to bring up the reserve force to, you know, stand by ready for situations like this. And so, I mean, whether it's a bit late, we could have avoided a lot more damage and a lot more loss of life, but, you know, I'm not really focused on that right now.
You're right. I mean, the important thing, the priority is to solve the immediate crisis and only after that look back. We do need to leave it there. John Steenhuisen is the DA leader. He's the leader of the Democratic Alliance. Keep doing the amazing work that you are doing, and we will no doubt check in with you and see how it is going.